Jason, prime time is waiting for the Bears, but are the Bears ready for prime time? We'll talk about that and more coming up on Hallis Intrigue. Hi, I'm Patrick Finley. He's Jason Leisure. Jason, the Bears have a long week following a bye week as they prepare to play the Commanders on Monday Night Football. There's no shortage of plot lines this week, from the battle between Caleb Williams, the number one pick, and Jaden Daniels, the number two last year, but also a return to the scene of the crime where Tyrique Stevenson contributed to the fail Mary that sent the Bears' season into a tailspin of which they are just barely emerging. What are you going to be watching the most here?
There are so many things, Patrick. Every time these teams play, which they've played a lot in the last few years, going back to just a horrible 12-7 game at Soldier Field that everybody had to watch. Justin Fields lighting them up, him and DJ Moore, for their first win when they were, I believe, 0-4 at the time.
Riding a 14-game losing streak at the time, yeah. Yes.
The rebuilds have been competing with each other. The Bears actually are a few years ahead, timeline-wise, but Washington has more than regained that ground under Dan Quinn. So Washington has the head coach, offensive coordinator, and quarterback, Dan Quinn, Cliff Kingsbury, and Jaden Daniels, that the Bears passed on. Mm-hmm. The Bears had every one of these guys in their sights at one point or another and chose instead Matt Eberflus in 2022, Shane Waldron as the offensive coordinator in 2024, and obviously Caleb Williams in that draft. So this is one of the things to talk about with rebuilds all the time is you have to have the right answers for your team, but you also have to do it better than the Lions, right, the Texans, the Commanders, all of these other teams that are doing the same thing. It's a zero-sum game. It's a huge game for Caleb Williams, and it always will be, especially when it's in Washington. He goes back to where he's from. He goes against the quarterback that he will always be linked to for the rest of his career. And this is a big deal for the Bears for the reason that you said, and I just do not believe the answers we've been getting from players this week about, oh, we're not thinking about last year. Everything imploded last year. I mean, that was the start of a 10-game losing streak. The league was laughing at them and continued to laugh at them for the next few months, and most notably at Tyrique Stevenson. I think they were still making jokes. Didn't one of the teams put a reference to it in their schedule release?
The Chargers did, yes.
Yeah, just, I mean, there is so much to unpack here. I guess we should start with Caleb Williams, because that's where things always start and end for the Bears. They will go as he goes, and he has looked, it's been a mixed bag so far. There have been times where you really have to, as you say, you have to squint to see the progress that you want to see. Then there's him lighting up the Cowboys, which are a horrible defense, turning it on late against the Raiders, another pretty bad team. What do you make of where he stands now? And then let's talk about the test that lies ahead Monday.
I think compared to 2 weeks ago, the Bears have to be pretty thrilled with where he is right now. I think compared to the start of the season, it's about right. The Bears aren't in position to be apologizing for winning any games. And, you know, when to even hear Ben Johnson talk about the Raider game, you know, they all did enough. And he said, you know, there's a lot of bad football being played out there. And I don't think the Bears are going to be sorry for capitalizing on that. I think he's been inconsistent both this year and in his career, but I don't think that is terribly unusual for his quarterback class. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of talk about those six quarterbacks taken in the first round in 2024.
Taken in the first 12 picks, I believe, right?
Yep. This year alone, Jason, J.J. McCarthy finished first in his class in passer rating 1 week and last in his class the next.
He won Player of the Week in the NFC.
In week one. And then finished last of those guys in passer rating the following week. Caleb Williams finished first in his class in passer rating in week three and last in his class in week four. There is going to be a wave that all of these guys ride for, you know, at least the rest of this season, probably into next year. But what's so intriguing about them is that their highs can be really high. And, you know, that's Jaden Daniels. You know, the Commanders rode Daniels to the NFC title game last year with a roster that, you know, to your point, was a rebuilding roster, was not built to go to the NFC title game, but he was just so good. I think Caleb is on the right path. I don't think it's going to be, we always talk about it's not linear, and it's not, but you do want to see him headed in the right direction. And I think through the first 4 weeks, you can say unequivocally, he's headed in the right direction.
We're still having to retool, recalibrate all of us. I think us, the media, and the fans as well, and perhaps even in the building, Ryan Poles and Ian Cunningham, recalibrate your expectations for him. Because when the starting point inside and outside the building is, this guy reminds me of Patrick Mahomes, and he's the clear-cut, no-doubt, slam-dunk, years in advance number one overall pick in 2024, the expectation is, Pat, he comes in ready, he comes in great, and only gets greater from there.
Right.
And maybe, and hopefully by the end of that rookie year, he is Patrick Mahomes. That's ridiculous. I think we are all in the process of recalibrating our expectations for his development. And you put it perfectly, that it's going to be up and down, not just over the course of a season, not just week to week, but within a game, it's going to be up and down. And I think that's one of the things where I'm looking for Caleb Williams to turn the corner, because take the first game and then the most recent game. The Vikings game came out hot, was looking really good, and then just plunged, just fell off a cliff. Raiders game, disaster. I mean, just really not good starting out for Caleb. And then rest of the game, you know, after that 2-for-7 start, he completes 20 of 30 the rest of the way and looks like he has a better feel for the pass rush and Max Crosby. I want to see a start-to-finish performance from him.
I don't think this is just a Caleb Williams issue either when we talk about recalibrating our expectations. Jason, who do you think the MVP in the league is right now? It's a loaded question.
Oh, man. Everybody usually, I think, talks about Josh Allen first in that conversation. Is that right?
Okay.
I'm not even sure.
I think it's Baker. 4 weeks in. I think it's Baker Mayfield. Okay. And Baker Mayfield was, of course, a number one pick who was quit on by how many teams? 3? Was traded by the Browns, released by the Panthers outright, if I remember correctly. Had to go learn the Rams playbook on the airplane, and then winds up in Tampa on a short-term deal, and then they give him a long-term deal. He got it eventually. He wasn't the can't-miss prospect that Caleb was, but he was still the number one pick in the draft and a Heisman Trophy winner. So these things do rely on time. They rely on seasoning, and they rely on situation.
And in situation, Pat, they rely on coaching expertise.
Exactly. And that's, I mean, to me, that's one encouraging part about what we've seen through 4 weeks here. You know, the Bears offensively can't get a lot right now. They're, as Ben detailed yesterday, the screen game's bad. The run game's bad. The play-action game is bad. But I think the fundamentals of the coaching that he's receiving is just so much better than what he got under Matt Eberflus. And we're not going to relitigate the why in the world did Matt Eberflus coach this team last year conversation, but it does make you wonder if he had gotten what Jaden Daniels got with Cliff Kingsbury last season, how much further along would the Bears be right now?
Yeah, when you look at those other two guys that you you mentioned Baker Mayfield, and I was thinking of Sam Darnold as well. Both those guys ended up drafted into terrible situations. Mm-hmm. And then going on to another bad situation, and then going somewhere where they got proper coaching. Baker Mayfield, even in that half a season or whatever it was, I'd love to know, he's probably talked about it, but I'd love to know what he learned playing under Sean McVay. And Sam Darnold, I think, is pretty evident what he learned playing under Kevin O'Connell. That's what's happening for Caleb Williams right now. Without changing teams, without the organization ruling that this guy just can't do it, you have... they brought the coach to him in Ben Johnson. And Ben Johnson has a lot to prove as a head coach. He doesn't have a lot to prove to me as far as his ability to teach offense and teach quarterbacking. He's got great credentials for that. And so much about the way he has handled Caleb Williams, just the coach-player dynamic, it's totally flipped from where Matt Eberflus acted as if, and it was probably true, that Caleb Williams was his boss.
Right.
He needed to appease Caleb Williams. Ben Johnson, just from a leverage standpoint, is not in that situation. Ben right. Johnson has more job security than Caleb Williams, actually. And Ben Johnson is taking a totally different tone. It is almost like a restart of a rookie year for Caleb Williams.
Who would you rather have among this group of Caleb Williams? Jaden Daniels, Drake May, we all watched him play Sunday night, and he was really good. Bo Nix, you know, Michael Penix, J.J. McCarthy. Does anybody jump out as either somebody you'd rather have than Caleb, or somebody who you could make an argument, at least, that it's 1A and 1B.
Oh, you can make arguments for these guys, for a few of them. Certainly Jaden Daniels, obviously. Yeah. And Bo Nix is, I think, kind of underrated. Bo Nix is really progressing. My money would still be on Caleb Williams out of that entire draft class. Yeah. And I know that I probably get decent odds on it because Bo Nix went to the playoffs last year and Jaden Daniels won Rookie of the Year. Caleb is more talented than any of those guys. Caleb is the most talented Bears quarterback that I've seen. A lot of guys come in with a lot of talent. Jamarcus Russell had a lot of talent.
Right.
You have to be in the right situation. You have to be a worker. And I think that's the thing that people miss about Caleb Williams is that the way I understand him from conversations with him and with other people about him, this is a serious worker. This is someone who meant it when he said it, that he wanted to be coached with expertise and he wanted to be coached by someone demanding, which he's getting now. And Pat, if you're talking about the top talent in that class matched with expert coaching, I would still bet on Caleb Williams out of that group. What about you? Let's say you got to put your money on it. Let's say you got to put $1,000 on which one of these guys has the best career.
I think it's probably Caleb, but I'll bring up Drake May. And he's somebody who, among that group this season, he is tops among the group and tops among most of football with a pass rating of 107.8. That's insane, Jason. That would be one of the great seasons any Bears quarterback's ever had. It would set the Bears record for passer rating. I think his ability to go from a quarterback, when we saw him last year, which was he would look at his first option, look at his second option, and if nothing was there, he'd tuck the ball and run. I think you're seeing the evolution of somebody who's turning into more of a passing quarterback who can also run. Jaden, I know the Bears were worried about it, and I can see why. I think they thought that Jaden was an injury waiting to happen, or at least an injury risk, given his propensity to run, given, quite frankly, just his build. He is not, Caleb looks like, funny story, by the way, Jason, I was waiting at the guard shack today for a minute or two to get in.
To get into House Hall?
Yeah, do you know who was in front of me?
No. Jaden Daniels?
Superman. The Caleb Williams bulldog.
Just his dog, or?
Yeah. Somebody was driving the dog.
Oh, the dog has a chauffeur?
Yeah, but I've always thought that Caleb's wow. Kind of, Caleb is built kind of like a bulldog. Caleb's got really big legs, really big thighs, really big shoulders. That is not what Jaden Daniels is built like. Jaden Daniels has got legs skinnier than mine, and I think that did concern the Bears a little bit. I think I'd throw out Michael Penix and J.J. McCarthy. I think McCarthy, boy, given his coaching, could be something really special in a couple of years. But, he's only thrown, 31 passes in his NFL career, and we're halfway through his second season. I think that's just really hard to judge right now.
Jaden Daniels' offensive coordinator is Cliff Kingsbury. Bo Nix is playing for Sean Payton. Mm-hmm. Drake May's offensive coordinator this year is Josh McDaniels.
What, in case he doesn't show?
I mean, those guys know what they're doing.
Right, yeah.
You make all your jokes about any of them, whatever. Sure, right. Those guys absolutely know what they're doing when it comes to this.
Right.
Caleb is just getting that now.
Zach Robinson doesn't make your list of genius offensive coordinators in Atlanta?
In Atlanta, no. No, Atlanta, that has looked like a disaster. That's a side street we don't need to go down, but that's looked like a mess from day one. And, I mean, when they're signing Kirk Cousins for $40 million a year and then drafting Michael Penix, and now they're saddled with this $40 million a year backup in Kirk Cousins, they don't seem like they know what they're doing.
Speaking of side streets that we do want to go down, Jason, Tyrique Stevenson, as you and I sit here right now, has not spoken in the media availabilities that have been offered.
That's not even a side street. That's wandering off where there is no path. That's what he did in that game a year ago, man.
Is there a way for him to handle this week that doesn't make a bad thing even worse?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Talking about it. Yeah. Not hiding from it. Hitting it head on. That shows maturity. This is what the public is going to want, including us.
Yeah.
Like, acknowledge the error again for the 50th time. I don't think that Tyrique has ever actually acknowledged the other part of what he screwed up on that play. He said, hey, I shouldn't have been talking to the fans. I don't know if I've ever heard him communicate that he understood that he actually messed up the coverage.
That he should have been covering the guy who caught the ball.
That he went charging in and did the job that Kevin Byard was supposed to do and was in position to do, instead of boxing out Noah Brown to prevent exactly what happened. I still don't know if he gets that part. It is an interesting test case of how much things have changed for both him and the culture at Hallis Hall. Tyreek Stevenson would be just another player if not for this incident. Therefore, it's career defining.
Yeah.
I mean, this is what you think about, and it's a young career. But to this point, it is career defining, the Fail Mary and his multiple lapses on that play. And then his subsequent storming out of practice when he got just the tiniest slap on the wrist of a consequence that he was going to sit the opening drive the next week. Tyreek Stevenson will wear that as career defining until he does something that outshines it.
Right.
Until he becomes a Pro Bowl cornerback, for example, or until he makes some kind of epic game-saving play, which that, you know, that's more kind of extraneous. Like this Fail Mary play really probably is kind of extraneous unless he continues to be someone that is inattentive. What you want to see is that Tyreek Stevenson becomes a great player.
Right.
And then he's like, yeah, I'm a great player who had this big, ugly mistake in year two, but now I'm a perennial Pro Bowl corner. Tyreek, though, is, you know, this is a huge game for the Bears at 2-2 and at showing that they can actually beat a good team. It's a huge game for Caleb Williams because every single time this guy breathes is huge. But after those two, this is the biggest for Tyreek Stevenson. If Tyreek Stevenson, like, he's probably not going to make that same mistake ever, right? Probably.
One would hope.
Probably not.
Yes.
But if he makes any kind of mental mistake Monday, or if he just even if he just plays poorly, which that's happened with Tyreek this season, it's going to immediately be connected back to that, and that's going to be right back in the spotlight again, the Fail Mary.
Jalen Johnson being hurt really sets Tyreek Stevenson up for either of those outcomes, which is, you know, he can either shut down the best receiver any week or get toasted by them.
He's done both in the first 4 weeks this year.
Yeah, and I think what's so different about the Fail Mary as opposed to, like you said, if he turns into a good player, you know, great. The Fail Mary is going to be shown on national television for the next 20 years and on any and all streaming and social, and when we get, you know, when we get media blasted into our eyeballs through a little chip, that's going to be on the all-time list of gaffes. But where he can avenge some of that, I think locally, is like you said, by playing well. I'd argue to you that short of the Josh Blackwell blocked field goal, the best play the Bears have had all season is Tyreek wrestling the ball away, you know, early in that Cowboy game from Javonte Williams, because it really did start to feel in the building like, oh my God, is this what we're going to do this season? Really? Mm-hmm. And he literally ripped that momentum back in the Bears' favor, and then they went on to win a boat race game. And that's a huge deal, especially for a guy who through the first 2 weeks was giving up a perfect passer rating. You know, he has had a big hand in this season already. I just don't know that anybody outside of Chicago will ever look at him and be like, oh, that's the guy who stripped the ball, you know, that set up a Bears victory. Or that's the guy who makes a great diving play in the fourth quarter or whatever he ends up doing. You know, they'll look at him and be like, oh, I've seen this clip on the Monday Night Football commercial 40 times, and I know exactly what's about to happen.
There's a lot on the line for Tyreek and for Ryan Poles in this entire situation, because for Tyreek, he will be going into next season, the final year of his rookie deal. Mm-hmm. So this is the time to earn that contract extension. Right. And man, like, let's just estimate, let's say Tyreek's a Pro Bowl corner this year.
Right.
Then he probably gets the extension.
Mm-hmm.
And let's be super conservative in the estimate and say he gets like a $12 million a year extension. Probably would be more if he really proves himself. He could get that. He could sign that in the upcoming offseason or not get it and play out his rookie deal for $2 million next year.
We're talking
like $36 million over 3 years versus $2 million, and then let's see what everybody thinks of you in free agency. That is a lot on the line for him in trying to turn this around. And Pat, for Ryan Poles, I mean, Tyreek's a mixed bag, right? What about Ryan Poles' draft history? That's a mixed bag, too.
I was going to say, it wouldn't be like the Bears to draft somebody and say the second round to take Tyreek's place, only for that to not work out.
You need a guy that you spent the number 56 overall pick on to hit.
Yeah.
That needs to be a starting corner for you.
At the risk of an obvious question, has he hit?
No. Are you kidding me?
Do you think
Tyreek?
Yeah.
No way.
Started every game for 2 years?
When has his job not been in jeopardy?
Yeah.
Okay. In 2.5 years?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think it's an interesting. I mean, he's not Ozzie Trapillo. You know what I mean? He's not, and sure, it's early but with him.
But he's been at risk.
Yeah, he's not throughout. He's not Karan Amagaji. He is somebody who they have trusted, kind of for better and for worse. Jason, let's get into our picks for the Monday night game. I think most of us are heading in the same direction. Right here, I've got the Commanders 28-27, and I'll go one step further and say that maybe this comes down to the Bears' backup kicker missing a field goal.
Man, you don't think about like the kicker during the week at all unless he's on the injury report. But right now you're like, oh man, Mr. Reliable, Cairo Santos is at minimum, Pat, going to be playing through something.
Right, and you know, weird things happen in this game. You know, you mentioned the 14-game losing streak coming to an end. You've got the Fail Mary. You've got, you know, you mentioned the ugly 12-7 game. If I remember correctly, that was Darnell Mooney trying to stretch the ball across the goal line on fourth down and not quite getting there, right, as time expired. Right. Yeah. Weird things happen, so I wouldn't be surprised if that happened. You've got it at 34-27. That's a lot of points the Bears are giving up in your scenario here.
Oh, you had the Bears giving up 28, right? I mean, I don't think that the return of Kyler Gordon and T.J. Edwards and then I assume probably Grady Jarrett just fixes everything.
Right.
And this is a really good offense. This is a lot better offense than anyone they've faced probably but Detroit.
Right.
Yeah, this is better than 3 out of the 4 they've faced. And then on the other side of it, while it's the Bears can only play who they play at the time. So when Caleb lights up the Cowboys, I'm not going to fault him for that because that's who they played.
Right.
But then to play well against the Raiders overall is good, 25 points, and he turns it on late. But in general, that's not convincing to me. Beating up on the Cowboys and the Raiders, I remain unconvinced. And being unconvinced is probably a good way to describe following the Bears at all. I imagine a lot of Bears fans use that word,
right?
You know, multiple times a year over the last 40 years that you are just perpetually unconvinced. You might see something that looks like it's headed the right way, but I gotta see it to believe it.
And you have the Commanders as your winner, correct?
Yeah. Isn't that what you said?
Yeah. I think I just said the score. So
34-27 is what I'm picking. They've got to show me before I'm gonna start picking them.
Mark Potash and Steve Greenberg both have the Commanders, Potsy by a field goal and Steve by a touchdown. Jason, I think it'll be a fun game. Like I said, if history is any indication, it'll be a close one. Anything else you're going to look for this week as we wrap up here?
Run game's got to get going.
Yep.
I think they're 3.8 yards per carry. And one thing I appreciate about Ben Johnson is we get, whether it's Eberflus or Nagy or whoever, you know, you ever ask about what's going on with this situation?
Right.
And the answer, Matt Nagy, famously, at least in my mind, it's famous because I remember it. I think about it all the time. It's nobody's fault but everybody's, is what he said about, I don't even remember what, probably the run game. Ben Johnson doesn't really do that. Ben Johnson has been loud and clear. The problem is mostly with the offensive line, some with his timing as a play caller and play design as a play caller, and clearly, adamantly, Ben Johnson has been saying, this is not DeAndre Swift's fault.
Right. It's not all DeAndre Swift's fault.
DeAndre Swift is doing pretty much mostly right. What we want him to do. Right. There are just free runners coming through the hole that he's supposed to hit. So I got to see that they've used the bye week, the extra time off, to fix some of those problems. Pat, you cannot be paying all of these guys in the offensive line what you're paying them in the interior. What are these? Is it like $150 million over the next 3 years?
An insane amount of money. Yeah.
It's crazy. And be paying DeAndre Swift as one of the higher paid running backs in the league and still be getting this kind of running game. I mean, they can't stop the run and they can't run. That is not a feasible way forward for them.
You mentioned not being able to stop the run. Jason, the Bears are on pace to have the second worst run defense in the history of football based on yards per carry. And Commanders running back Ja'Cory Krosky-Merritt hit the Chargers with 7.9 yards of pop last week. So we will see. Fun fact about Ja'Cory Krosky-Merritt. Do you know what his friends call him?
I believe it's Bill, right?
Bill, yes. Yeah. Completely out of left.
I've heard him called Wild Bill and Bill.
Yeah.
Man, Pat, though, it's just like, when was he drafted?
This year.
Was he undrafted?
He's a rookie.
Or
yeah.
Was he late round or undrafted or what was it? What's his...
I think he was a late round
pick. I never heard of him.
He was at Arizona for a little bit, so I knew him a little bit. But yes.
Where was he picked?
He was,
if
picked,
he was picked
in the seventh round of the 2025 NFL draft.
How often do you sit here as someone who follows the Bears every day, whether you're talking about a coach, a quarterback, or a pass rusher, or in this case a running back, and say, how is it so easy everywhere else?
Yep. And if I do remember, correct me if I'm wrong, viewers and listeners, but I believe Krosky-Merritt got in some trouble with the NCAA because I believe the first school he played at put him in a bogus jersey number for a game to get him in the game and hope nobody would notice. So, good times. Yeah, it's easy.
But you're not sure about that? You're just going to fling it out there? I think this is true.
I believe that happened, Jason, yes.
Okay. All right. Everybody needs to Google that and make sure Pat's right.
All right, and yeah, we'll give you time to Google it by letting you go. Jason, he is Jason, I'm Pat. Thanks for listening. We'll be back again real soon. In the interim, please follow Jason, myself, on social media. Check us out at the Sun-Times website. And if you live in town, buy a paper. Thanks so much. We will be back from suburban DC on Monday night.
What happens when you say yes for an entire year? Join WBEZ on October 26th for an evening with Titan of Television Shonda Rhimes as she recounts lessons from her best-selling memoir, Year of Yes. Tickets at WBEZ.org/events.